Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans. It is from the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the fledgling church in Rome as he tries to put word and hope to the struggles that people are enduring, both personal and on a wider level. And in these words, we find Paul's admonition to keep hoping, to believe in hope. Will you join with me in prayer? Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word, we may become your glad and faithful people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Paul writes, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but of the one of the will who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past fall, we published a new church pictorial directory. It's always an eventful time and one when we look forward to its completion. We're always eager to get the new directory and to browse through the pages and see the photos of people we've known for years and those whose names we're still trying to learn. I also enjoy looking through the directories from the past years here, gazing at the photographs of members from this congregation, remembering how they and I looked 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I see the smiling newlyweds, the angelic faces of babies long since grown into adulthood, the adults who are less active now, and the loved ones who have passed away. As my eyes wander across the pages, I think of all the lives represented, of the joys experienced, the hardships and losses suffered, sorrows never imagined when the photographer was busy focusing his camera lens. I wonder what kind of dreams we've all had, and how these dreams have either been fulfilled or shattered, or mostly just reconfigured. What will happen to all of us in the years that lie ahead? What will someone else see when they look back on the faces of those of us who are gathered here this morning? One of the joys in life is dreaming about the future, making plans, hoping for all that can be. Will I find someone to marry? What will our children look like? Or now in our generation, what will our grandchildren look like? Will I find the job that's right for me? And many of the dreams we have will come true, but others are going to vanish just as quickly as that last snow just melted away. Life will not always bring our dreams to fruition. Still, we hope for the best, for our lives and for the lives of those we love, we hope. It's strange how we use that word hope. I know I use it all the time. I hope you feel better. I hope I get a good grade. I hope we can get together. We speak in terms of hope more often than we realize, and most times we're defining hope as that which we expect to have happen. We hope for good health, we hope for good grades, we hope for good times, and then we predict what we want to have happen. But hope is not about predicting the future. As the Apostle Paul wrote, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Hope, then, is really a kind of trust, a trust in the future, a trust in the unseen, a trust in not really knowing what lies ahead, but trust that we will make it through, even in a world that sometimes seems kind of hopeless. We face an uncertain future, and we are overwhelmed daily by stories of violence and horror and disease. Innocent children are slaughtered. Tornadoes strike down entire towns. Cancer seems on the rise. The world can be a scary, dark, and frightening place, and we have a decision to make. Will we be overcome by the darkness, or will we become people of hope? The whole creation is groaning, Paul writes, longing to be set free from its bondage to decay. And Paul reminds us that we're all part of that creation, for better or for worse, and because of that, we can't help but get caught up in the world's problems, both that which we've caused and so many things over which we have no control. It's a precarious world one way or another, but it is our home for now. We do not have to live in despair. That's what Paul is saying. He saw the state of the world in all its ugliness. He knew firsthand the sinful nature of the human condition. He suffered greatly at the hands of many people. He saw the decay around him. And yet life for Paul was not lived in despair. Despite everything, he lived in this wonderful hope, in an eager anticipation of a liberation, a renovation, a recreation brought about by the glory and power of God in Jesus Christ. He could see beyond this world to a world governed completely by the love and grace of God, and because of that, he had hope not just for that future life to come, but for the here, the now, and the present. The creation waits with eager longing, Paul writes. Eager longing. That phrase, eager longing, in Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, describes the attitude of a person scanning the horizon, eagerly searching the distance for the first signs of dawn. Eager longing. It's how you feel when you've been away from home for a week and you're on that last stretch of road that leads you to your family, and you turn the corner and you strain to see that glimpse of home and of your loved ones. It's watching the school bus roll up to the curb and then seeing your child come hopping down the steps to you. It's sitting in a hospital room and staring down the hallway, waiting for the surgeon to come around the corner and tell you everything's okay. Eager longing. It's how we're called to live our lives as Christians, to recognize the darkness of the world, because we cannot deny that, but not to be consumed by hopelessness and dread in the face of everything. As one unknown poet wrote, a horizon is nothing but the limit of our own earthly sight. We need to see beyond the here and now into a wider horizon. Some years ago, Marge Carpenter, who was a champion in the field of mission outreach and a former moderator of the Presbyterian Church, was asked to preach at a church in a small village in Serbia that had been turned into a Hungarian refugee camp during the time when that part of the world was in such terrible upheaval and change. The villagers hoped that she could bring a message to them of hope to all these people who were being just swallowed up in all the darkness and sorrow of war. But the State Department denied her and her fellow travelers their visas. They could have stopped at that, but they didn't. They traveled across the country, across the ocean, and they traveled to that camp anyway. And they arrived at the border to be turned away. One of the Hungarian guards whom they had befriended came to their rescue and by the dark of night snuck them across the border. And they made their way to that little village. They didn't know where they were going. They had no idea what to expect when they got there. But as they got nearer, it became darker and darker and darker. All the electricity to that village had been cut off. And the night was cloudy. There was no moon, no stars, just utter blackness. Marge and her little group slowly made their way up and down the streets of this village, step by step, not knowing where they were going and not sure if they would even find where they were supposed to be. And then they turned the final corner, and lining the street all the way down to the church, people stood holding lighted candles in the dark. It was 5 degrees outside. Marge says, I will always wonder to the end of my life, if we hadn't gone on and gone in there even without our visas, would those people have stood there all night hoping we would come? And then she says, the church is all the hope there is for much of the world. And she's right. The church from the very beginning has always been that hope for the world, that hope that can never be extinguished. The world can be a dark and scary place. We can shiver in the darkness, or we can be people who wait with eager longing, people who strain to see the horizon and what lies beyond that horizon, because we have hope in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can be people who continue to carry the light. Today, you are invited to the table of hope. As we break the bread and take the cup, we proclaim a hope that is beyond hope, a hope that is founded in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lights the way through all the darkness. Well, follow the light. Come to the table. Be the hope that the world really needs right now. Won't you help me light the way? Pray with me. Lord, we long with eager longing to be people of hope who keep our eyes fastened on that horizon that is lit not by the
the light of the dawn, but of the light of Jesus Christ. In the midst of all that goes wrong and all the trouble and all the darkness that we see in the world, let the church and let all of us be those who light the way of hope that others may not give up. Let us be people who follow the light of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen.